This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana on a beautiful day in paradise as we are now in phase one of the return from COVID-19. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. And in studio, consultants Mary Patricia Ray and Scott Wilfong, two of our favorite guests. Mary Patricia on the left and Scott Wilfong on the right. And they are here to talk about both national and state politics. And there's much going on in both worlds, as we know. And today is the 74th birthday of Cher. This is significant because in the summer of 46, June, Donald Trump, July, George Bush, and August, Bill Clinton. So the next president might very well be Cher. That would fit the pattern, wouldn't it? May, June, July, August.
Isn't that a musical by Peter Nero, well, Summer of 46?
Summer of 42.
42, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 42. Jennifer O'Neill, yeah, Timothy Bottoms, quite a movie.
Yeah.
Made quite an impression on me. You know, I was 13 when it came out. But anyway.
In 1946, you were 13?
I can think of worse presidents than Cher.
Than Cher? I can, too. And one thing about it, she's not morbidly obese.
Yes, well. Speaker Scott. Pelosi would definitely have something to say about that.
Well, the Speaker's made some news this week. Matt, do we have the Speaker on tap? Let's see if we can round her up since I brought it up. She obviously got under Donald Trump's skin when she made this comment. The president said she, quote, has mental problems. It was John Neely Kennedy, who's a few pounds overweight himself, who said that he can't imagine somebody having their head that far up their rear end, referring to Nancy Pelosi, after saying in a rally that Scott remembers that it must suck to be that dumb, referring to the Democrat from San Francisco. So John Neely Kennedy, he's a tough guy when he talks about an 80-year-old woman, right?
That's right. I mean, but poor Nancy, her body composition is approaching 30% plastic is what I've heard.
Well,
so that, she's got to be careful.
A freezer full of ice cream. That Speaker Pelosi has, and I think a pretty small waist, but maybe she has a little more self-control than our president does.
I think she does, and fiscal discipline starts with physical discipline, and we have the most obese president we've had since William Howard Taft, and we have the hugest deficit. We've had a $3 trillion stimulus program. We probably have more money coming on the way. Scott, who would have thought that Donald Trump would have been the biggest socialist in the history of our country? How did that happen?
I was talking to a famed conservative former consultant last week, and he made the comment. He said, can you ever imagine that we would be advocating for government grants that are just forgiven to people? And I said, no, but I couldn't have envisioned this happening either. So the world's been turned on its head.
Well, right now, do you think the president's done an adequate job considering the bad hand that he drew? It's something, obviously, that he didn't expect, and he's out there every day. You've got to give him that. He is before the masses.
It's something that's just never happened where we shut everything down ourselves. And I mean, I'm always skeptical of those that want to base everything on the market. But the fact that we lost 10,000 points in the market and have gotten over half of that back already, I mean, the market's approaching 25,000. And that's a measure of optimism from corporations and from individuals. And I think that's really what those numbers are saying is that people do believe we're going to be out of this thing and that we are going to recover, and all that's priced into the market right now. So yes, I wouldn't fault anybody for how they had to handle this because it was all uncharted territory.
Mary Patricia.
Well, I mean, you see these vastly. I mean, you know, frankly, the Republicans are in charge right now. And they need to get the same set of talking points because here in Louisiana, and I'm not joking, right now a bill is up for consideration at the Capitol that reduces what were already the lowest average weekly unemployment benefits. We're considering a bill right now that does that while we're also saying that Republicans are just happy to suddenly be socialists and, quote, give money away. So, I mean, I think that it can be very confusing to read some headlines, but when you get down in the details, find out that things were very different. And I hope people pay close attention to who was coming up with solution-driven ideas to recover from this versus just some talking points.
Well, since we started with the national scene, the Democrats' presumptive nominee is Joseph Biden. Is he a good candidate?
Yeah, absolutely. He's proven. He has experience. His his meter for hypocrisy is 150% lower than our president. I mean, I actually can't believe how newsworthy it was that a man was called fat. If we covered that when it happened to notable women, that's all we would cover.
Well,
so I'm excited to get back to
several women fat.
Sure. I'm excited to get back to someone who's focused on policy instead of name calling and just weird money. I mean, the dude's just so weird. He's so weird.
You're talking about Joe Biden? I agree. And I couldn't hear all that for the geese honking. Could you speak up? There was some clip.
Well, he does have a sexual harassment allegation that he has defended, and the Democrats have rallied by him. Do you think there's any news to the allegations by Tara Reid?
I think his defense of it has been spectacular in that he said that all women that have an allegation like that should be listened to. And I invite all of your listeners, just as I have, to go ahead and read notable legitimate news sources that are investigating it. And I think we should all pay attention to any allegations like that that happen. I have my own sort of opinions that I've drawn about the allegations. I'm still waiting to see some evidence of them, and I will continue to look for it because I do think we should listen to every woman. Well,
but again, the hypocrisy. Chuck Schumer's exact words are, I think his explanation's good enough for me. Why was Brett Kavanaugh's explanation not good enough for him? Why was Brett Kavanaugh raked
over
the
coals? Some of these women, like Blasey Ford, took a polygraph. Tara Reid is not. Joe Biden hasn't either, though. But Anita Hill did take a polygraph. She passed it. Clarence Thomas did not. And Joe Biden, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee in 1991, refused to allow three corroborating witnesses to testify.
Yep.
So he has that stain on his
And he
record.
Should have to answer for it. The best part is, though, that he actually can and he actually will versus the president we have now who talks about, you know, grabbing you-know-whats with absolutely no defense whatsoever.
But let's be honest. Well, let's talk about Joe Biden here. This is not an outlier for Joe Biden. I mean, I will discount some of these memes and the things, but there's pictures all over of Joe Biden grabbing young girls by the chest, inappropriately getting too close. I mean, this is completely in line with who Joe Biden
well,
is.
That's
and
not
the, fact
the same
that we can,
as having sex with a porn star while your wife just gave birth and then paying $130,000 to her to be quiet and then saying it didn't happen.
And I think that Trump has to – he absolutely has those things that he has to answer for, too. It's just ridiculous that people like Chuck Schumer will say, well, Joe Biden said he didn't do it, so that's good enough for me. But there's all this evidence that he's absolutely a creep.
I guess I would say that it's ridiculous that people, and Scott's my friend, but that people like Scott would excuse the actions of one person that are proven, legitimately proven, in order to politicize a campaign over someone's actions.
Well, there are more than 20 women, though, have come forward and made allegations against President Trump, including E. Jean Carroll, who said she was raped in a department store. And there's only one who has come forward about Donald John Trump, and that's Tara Reid. So
you mean Biden?
About Joe Biden. Thanks for the correction. And it would seem that a pattern of behavior is there for the president, who is discounted, as Mara Liasson said this morning, all of the women saying either they weren't good-looking enough or it didn't happen. And
all that is perfectly legitimate attack on the president. I will simply say, though, that nearly all of that was known in 2016, and the American people took it under advisement, and they elected him president. And all I'm saying is, if people want to take everything for Joe Biden and put it out there and elect him president, then
well, I
fine.
Think this election's going to come down to three states, and the women in those states believe Joe Biden.
Okay, well, they elected him president, but he lost the vote by almost 3 million ballots.
The vote is the vote,
and he lost the vote, as Barack Obama lost the vote to Hillary Clinton, too, in the 2008 primary, but he got the nomination. So the vote went to Hillary Rodham Clinton by a pretty substantial margin. To show you how substantial it was, Gerald Ford came closer to Jimmy Carter in 1976 than Donald Trump came to Hillary Clinton. It was not a close race. It was 2.1%. But the Electoral College is the way it's determined. What happens if this occurs again? Let's say Trump, or let's say it's in reverse. Let's say this time Trump wins the popular vote. And Biden wins the election. It almost happened with George Bush and John Kerry the other way around. What if it happened the other way around? Do you think the president would leave quietly, marry Patricia?
Oh, I think that we would see an unprecedented level of, like I said before, hypocrisy on his part. And I think that the Supreme Court case about whether or not these electors in the Electoral College have to vote the way that they have promised to, whether they can be fined and removed, may end up actually being important in this next election.
I think that it's not possible for a Republican to – I would say almost impossible for a Republican to win the popular vote going forward because of the way the population is centered. California. Hillary Clinton's margin of victory was entirely California.
Well,
in the popular vote.
Now, but again, Trump won some states by big margins.
Well,
too.
But let's just remember, it's like saying Alabama got more total yards, but LSU had more points.
Okay, well, John Bel Edwards won the governor's race because he carried New Orleans and Baton Rouge. The other 62 parishes went overwhelmingly for Eddie Rasponi. If we use the same barometer, then Rasponi would be the governor.
But we don't elect the governor the way we elect the president.
And that's why it should be changed. The Electoral College should be equal.
Now Jim's opinion comes out.
And we'll be back after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number 877-217-5757. On the right, Scott Wilfong. On the left, Mary Patricia Ray. And we're going to talk about some state politics as well as the governor gets ready for his 2 p.m. Ask the Governor show number 50 for Governor John Bel Edwards, who was reelected last year with 51% of the votes. Close race over Eddie Rasponi. And we probably will have a close race for President of the United States. Laverne in Mid-City. Laverne, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
I just want to say I've never seen a photo of Joe Biden grabbing a woman's chest, as the gentleman said.
I'll find you one.
I want to also note that Tara Reid, there's so many articles, one on Vox, one on The Nation, one in the New York Times, lots of research looking at her. She's kind of seems to me kind of disturbed. And I'm a woman who supports women. But thirdly, I just want to hope and pray that Democrats don't eat their own like they did with Al Franken and what happened with him. Thank you.
And it was Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, who basically caused Al Franken to resign. And Franken did wrong, but in comparison to what others have been accused of, he was quite possibly going to run for president. He might have been the Democratic nominee. That would have been a race, wouldn't it, between Franken and Trump?
Wow, worthy of Saturday Night Live in real
one-liners.
Life.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, it would have been entertaining. 877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil, you're on the air with Mary Patricia and Scott. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. We need to revisit the Kavanaugh event because basically he committed perjury. There was no serious investigation, and they refused to call his roommate. I mean, that was one of the big witnesses, supposedly, that was there in the room when that attack happened.
All right. Well, I don't want to relitigate the Kavanaugh hearing. He's a Supreme Court justice for life, and there was compelling evidence against him, but he also denied it fervently, and he had enough people believe him, including John Neely Kennedy and William Morgan Cassidy, that he is on the court until he takes his last breath.
And I will say, I just Googled Joe Biden grabbing women, and I mean, you could pretty much put together a soft porn
video. But she said chest. I don't see
here's around this. Here's around her waist.
Scott,
here's a young
Scott,
girl.
Scott,
he's
Scott,
kissing,
Scott,
nuzzling
Scott,
her hair.
Scott, that's not
remember
soft.
The red
that's
shoe
not
diaries.
Soft porn, and you know it. David in Atlanta. Hi,
I
David.
Was going to say, I mean, I didn't know that was considered risque these days, and that's not a defense of it at all. It's just a statement about standards of whatever's inappropriate seem to be wildly vacillating depending on the party of the person whose photos you're looking
at. He is violating social distancing, though. David in Atlanta. Hi, David.
Scott, did you tweet anybody when Trump was sleeping with a porno star when his wife was giving birth to their child? So if you want to talk about character, I'll be glad to have that debate. But, you know, when President Trump took office, he inherited a pretty good economy after the disaster George W. left behind. And, you know, before the coronavirus, the Republicans passed an unfunded tax cut that went to many companies that will likely go bankrupt so their corporate executives could receive pay raises and bonuses because of stock increases. Now, on the other hand, the Republicans right now in the Senate won't even vote or debate a Democratic stimulus program. There are more jobs in this country. There are more people out of work than there are jobs to fill those.
Yep. I mean, there's some, as always with David, there's a lot there. But the you know, I would just say, talking about the stimulus plan, it doesn't shock me at all that the party of Bernie Sanders, who wants basically free everything, also wants to give people an incentive not to go back to work. They'd much rather them stay at home and collect a check from the government because it creates
a democratic socialist. That's his party. So I don't know.
Hillary had to cheat to beat him, and Joe Biden got lucky to beat him.
I find that anytime women beat anyone, they must have cheated. And this is something that I learn at every level of government, in every position I've ever held professionally. Any election I've ever won, I must have cheated. Any A I received in a class, I must have, had an unfair advantage. We just don't seem to win anything fair and square, Jim.
Well, and when history reviews Hillary Clinton, she will be noted as a person who defeated both Obama and Trump in the vote and lost both times. And when we talk about cheating to win the 2016 Democratic nomination,
I knew what you were Googling.
She got 17 million votes and he got 13. I don't think it was a close race.
Yeah, we remember the inside.
That's a whole lot of cheating, isn't it?
That's 4 million votes. 4 million votes. Henry at the Country Club. Henry?
Country Club.
Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Do we have Henry?
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Wilfong. Mr. Jim, I normally do agree with you, and I agree with you again. I remember one time our mutual friend, the late, great Walter Fox McKithen, was going around shaking hands and slapping people on the backs, and one of your guests went whining to Republican District Attorney Doug Morrow, saying that he's been assaulted. Even Morrow wouldn't take that case, laughed him out of the office. Thank you.
All right, that did happen.
It's ironic. We were having that discussion before.
I guess Scott was also not a credible victim of
assault. I was 23 at the time, so there was...
we were just talking about this before the show, actually, Henry, and my reaction was that I'm really not shocked that anyone would punch Scott. I believe that.
That's why Scott's bowed up. He's working out, and he's looking good. But back in the day, he did file a complaint against Fox McKithen, and you say there's a tape of him assaulting.
There is a tape of it, yeah. But I will say Fox and I became friends at the end of his life, and it was
Tormented that poor man to the point where he was going over his campaign expenditures, and it showed gas from
Jim's Food Mart.
No, Jeff's Food Mart.
Right.
And they don't
sell have gas pumps.
So I wonder what he was buying at Jeff's Food Mart.
I don't know. It was about $6 at the time, so...
877-217-5757. But this is serious business, an election fewer than 24 weeks away. Biden is ahead in the polls, but the Las Vegas odds are saying Trump's going to win. Mary Patricia?
Well, sports betting is about to become legalized, maybe in some parishes in Louisiana. And, although I think it will still be illegal, don't you think betting on politics would be really fun, Scott?
It would. Yeah.
I think I could win a lot of money doing it.
Especially local races, when you have the inside information.
People often bet their hearts. If I ask you right now, you're saying Joe Biden's going to win. And Scott says, who's going to win?
Donald Trump's going to win. Absolutely.
The reason why I want – so when I'm betting on, NCAA basketball, I'm going to pick my team. But I do keep my head level when it comes to politics. So, you might be surprised to hear me say who I support isn't necessarily
I think our friend Michael Baychok should start. Remember, he's a world champion horse racing handicapper. He should start an online thing where we could bet on politics and local races. So, Michael, if you're listening,
get out there with it.
Well, we will have sports betting at some point. It's amazing that Mississippi has beaten us to the punch. But
we need the revenue, don't we, Jim?
We do indeed.
I'm not sure if we need the sin, but hey, I'll engage in it.
Well,
877-217-5757. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Mary Patricia and Scott. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. Listening to this conversation, I say, thank God I'm not in a political party. But I'm just wondering what the president and the Republican Party have against mail-in voting. The president himself votes by mail. That's all I've got.
All right, I'm happy to answer that, and I will step out and express my own opinion, but I'll also talk a little bit about the party. It is not the mail-in ballot itself that is the problem. It is the ballot harvesting. And the bill that was shot down recently would have, for instance, if you're in Baton Rouge, you understand what we're talking about, allowed the Council on Aging to serve as a collection point for ballots. This is an organization that steals money from old people, that uses taxpayer money to hold political rallies.
That's not
about the mail ballot itself. It is about the ballot harvesting.
Council on Aging over a mail ballot issue?
Well, we won't hash that. Ballot
harvesting is a term utilized to replace the word fraud, which is an editorial term. And so if you want to have an opinion about what fraud is, that's fine. But just trying to skip over the discussion about what constitutes fraud is not helpful. And all it really does is deny people access
to
the
Democrats
ballot.
Be happy if the NRA banquet served as a ballot harvesting place?
I don't speak for all Democrats or all women. I speak for myself.
All right. Okay. And Democrat Mary Patricia Ray, who is in studio and 25 weeks pregnant, and Scott Wilfong, who just came from the gym.
I speak for myself and one other.
He's ready to rock and roll, and your number is 877-217-5757. Back after this pause for the news. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Scott Wilfong on the right, Mary Patricia Ray on the left, and we'll talk about anything on your mind as long as it's G-rated. Peter in White Oaks. Peter, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine.
Good. I was calling because I wanted to make a comment to your Republican guest in studio. I think what you're saying to people on the radio is dangerous. It's rooted in racism, sexism, classism. There's no evidence whatsoever that voting by mail causes fraud. In fact, quite the opposite. There's plenty of evidence that suggests there is no voter fraud that takes place in the United States. So what you're doing, I think, is really sick.
All right, I think he's apparently didn't listen to what I said, because I actually said that mail voting itself is not fraud. It is the ballot harvesting. And I think anybody on the left at the pro-life banquet in November, if they were allowed to harvest ballots and dump them off at the Registrar of Voters office, the left would have a problem with that. Just like we have a problem with the Council on Aging and these other
I would point to some trends in what Scott says. So he uses ballot harvesting when he means fraud. Fraudulently collecting ballots. He says that we won't have a Republican president that wins the popular vote because of California, which to me is messaging that is laced with anti-immigrant discussion. So what you're seeing here is someone who's really good at taking a term and using it to mask another term underlying it, which usually is based in discrimination.
Is that kind
based
of like
race,
how
class,
Joe Biden's described as affectionate? Isn't that kind of a term for creepy and sexually inappropriate?
Have you ever met Joe?
I have not.
No. I have, and I found him to be very affectionate.
I'm sure
and delightful.
I'm sure
and delightful.
Yeah, being a woman, I'm sure that would be the case. Yes, I have met President Trump twice, and he's very friendly.
I found that our interaction was very much based on good instincts about whether I wanted to interact with him, how long I wanted to talk with him. In fact, he was in a hurry, as people mm-hmm. often are at these events. And
did he nuzzle you? Did he nuzzle your neck?
I would not describe our interaction as nuzzling. He did give me a very warm hug, which I gave him plenty of clues was welcome and wanted.
I'm sure there are many
when you came
women
in today, Scott, we violated social distancing. We didn't shake hands, but you fist bumped me. You channeled your inner Barack Obama, but some people would say that's inappropriate in this day and time.
Well,
my knuckles might have Corona on them, so
and none of us are masked up.
That's true.
I also met Bill Clinton here in Baton Rouge a couple years ago. And I have a picture of him with his arm around me, hand appropriately placed on my back as we take a photo. And you want to know who I have a picture of in the exact same – and I've been told, well, that's a bit much by Republicans mm-hmm. about the photo. Mm-hmm. And I have a photo of me with David Vitter circa 2013, before I ever ran a campaign against him, in a congressional office in the exact same pose.
Wow.
And I would not criticize either one of those gentlemen who very clearly were doing what you do when you take a photo.
You and Vitter have worked together, haven't you?
since then, in a very limited way on some criminal justice reform matters, and I was very, very proud to work with him on it. And well, that he took a great position
since
on
we're telling
issues.
Stories, when I was in college, I sat with Phyllis Schlafly on her hotel room bed, in her hotel room.
The Eagle Forum lady.
The Eagle Forum lady, yes.
Dang, Scott.
On her bed.
Now we're getting into soft core porn.
But now, this actually has a political tinge to it. Mike Pence will not have lunch with a woman other than his wife, will not be in a room with a woman other than his wife. Is that
by
okay?
Himself.
By himself. By himself, yeah. Yes, by himself.
Right.
Is that appropriate?
That's what he's chosen to do. I think in today's time, it would be very difficult to be Vice President of the United States and observe that. But if that's what he wants to do,
I don't think it's difficult. I think it's completely ridiculous because it means he can't have a policy discussion with any other woman because their gender performance disqualifies them from having a real conversation with the Vice President of the United States of America, which is ridiculous.
I believe that's the old Billy Graham rule, though, and
all
that
right,
was done.
We do have some listeners trying to chime in on state and national matters, and one of those, we talked about it yesterday, it's been the talk of the country, is about the president and his drug of choice, hydroxychloroquine.
One of his drugs of choice, Jim. Let's be clear.
Amazing that the media seems to think that the president of the United States does not have a doctor around him at all times, as if he just started popping this pill with no medical advice. I actually watched George Stephanopoulos on ABC report
it
that
Scott?
Way.
There's a doctor. Who is that doctor?
I don't know, but
What's
I know
his
if there's
record
one.
With that
he
doctor.
Has not released a physical since January of last year either. So
if there is
overdue.
One person on the face of the earth that has the best medical care available, it is the President
of
the United States.
Well, it's the same doctor who weighed him in at 243. And Scott, you and I know he does not weigh 243.
No, he does not.
He weighs 243. I weigh 143.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. He's large.
Scott in Baton Rouge, another Scott, says, I would remind Scott Wilfong that voter fraud is extremely rare in this country. The biggest case of voter fraud recently was a corrupt Republican official in North Carolina collecting voters' absentee ballots and saying he'll turn them in. The Republican suppressing of the vote is the real fraud. That from Scott Clemens. Your thoughts, Scott Wilfong.
I would say, and Mary Patricia may or may not agree with me, but until you have worked in campaigns like we have down on the ground level, voter fraud goes on at almost every election.
I absolutely disagree with that.
It may not be with mail ballots, but
if
absolutely.
If you're telling me that you know of voter fraud that you have not reported, that's a problem I don't want to be
part of. A state senator named Heather Cloud was the mayor of Turkey Creek. She lost an election. Her start in politics was because somebody was paying mentally handicapped people to come and vote. They gave them money and promised them a bicycle. She lost that election by 4 votes, got the court to overturn it, order a new election, and she won by 12 votes, and today she's a state senator. So ask Heather Cloud about
voter
fraud.
Well, anomalous instances of voter fraud used to again, mask an argument that is based on denying access to the ballot to people who experience higher rates of poverty, are a different color from you, a different race from you, a different religion from mm-hmm. you. It's very skillful, but there are many sophisticated voters out there who won't fall for it.
And our friend Gustavo notes that President Trump claimed there were 3 million illegal votes in 2016, and they all went to Hillary Clinton. The Louisiana Senate approved this week sweeping tort reform legislation, supporting the promise that auto insurance rates will be lowered. Tomorrow, Jim Donilon will be on our program, and he is a supporter. Your thoughts, Scott? Is this good? Is this good legislation?
It's the same. My issue with it is the same as it was last year. There are absolutely good parts to it, like the prescriptive period. Lowering the jury trial threshold is probably okay. I don't know that it needs to go to 5,000, but for some reason, the legislature insists on making it an omnibus bill that it's all or nothing. And if you listen to some of the debate, things like direct action. Let me tell you, people are going to realize when that's gone, when you have mm-hmm. to sue the individual and you can't sue the insurance company, you've absolutely removed a right of a citizen to seek damages. I don't know why they want it all together, except that my fear is that it's the insurance companies and everything, you know, pushing for it. Why can't you have 5 different bills? Why can't you have one bill for prescriptive period, one bill for jury trial threshold, and let the legislature decide? They put these men and women onto a vote. All or nothing. And
well,
it passed,
I think the reason,
so we'll see.
With respect for the legislators that bring these bills, who I do believe, truly believe in what they are doing, and mm-hmm. I really respect them, I don't know that bringing an omnibus bill indicates they're really that serious, because I think they put the governor in a position where it's very hard for him to not veto the bill. And if they don't pass it with a veto-proof majority, which they're not doing right now, then that's what will happen. And so, you know, I think that if they were serious and wanted it to be more than a political talking point, mm-hmm. and actually believed that the bills they're passing would reduce our insurance rates, and they would do it in a manner calculated to make it stick. You know, there's another coastal lawsuit bill coming behind this insurance reform bill that's going to struggle to get that veto-proof majority, and we'll see what happens with it. And I happen to believe that there are just a few merits to that bill, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And no, I do not think the bill that passes is going to reduce our insurance rates.
James in Metairie. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Jim, and to both of your guests. The young lady, very articulate. I'm not sure who she is. I just tuned in. Pleasure to hear her, and Scott, of course. This is breaking. Donald Trump threatened to withhold funding from Michigan and the state of Nevada for expanding their mail-in voting services, and he's talking about this is a voter fraud path. The Republicans and the right and the ultra-conservatives have put that meme into the national consciousness that the mail-in ballots will result in massive, massive voter fraud. Trump is afraid of more people voting. He has said so much to the effect that the more people who vote in the election this year, the greater the chances he will lose. There's this voter fraud lie by Republicans has got to be a challenge, Jim.
All right. James, are you a Republican?
I am a Republican. I am a proud rhino.
You know, James, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for recognizing how articulate I am and sort of throwing
and
Scott,
how young you are.
Throwing Scott
You're
a bone.
Very young.
Throwing Scott a bone. Look, I'll take it as long as I can get it, Scott, on the youth side. That's why I'm on radio. You can't see me today, so you don't know. But this is actually a local government issue. This is a president who is part of a party that says he's for local government until your state or your locality does something that he doesn't like. Same story, different day.
Yeah, mail balloting is like using the term healthy eating. What does that mean to you? It means something different to me. Mail voting, Oregon does all their elections by mail. I believe there are not polling places. So the military votes by mail. I think we as a party have to acknowledge that that's the trend it's going towards. What we have to do, though, it's kind of I think that what the president's trying to do is say,
stop the harvesting.
Well, before we go full bore into this thing, we need to have some checks and balances, and,
right.
You know.
And Taya Hashish, a fabulous lady, she has been enjoying this conversation and has agreed to step aside until Memorial Day. So we'll hear from her in a few days, and we'll return with Scott and Mary Patricia. 877-217-5757, back in 2 minutes. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. And Mary Patricia Ray and Scott Wilfong going into overtime with us. And if you'd like to get in under the wire, 877-217-5757 or talk@talklouisiana.org. Stephen Parker notes that Turkey Creek, the populace that you spoke of, has a total population of 441. So
mm-hmm.
if you got voter fraud in Turkey Creek, you can swing an election.
Unless you're the one who wants to be the mayor and you lose by four votes. It's not important to him, but I bet it was real important to her.
Mary Patricia once worked in high places for the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. There's a big vote today coming on superintendent of education, I hear.
Yep. Our Bessie board's going to take up an agenda item today to nominate and maybe select a new superintendent for the state. Our constitution requires a 2/3 vote of that board, so 8 out of 11 members, and it may prove a little bit of a challenge to get to 8 on any of the top 2, or now we're hearing maybe 3 candidates. Obviously a very high power, high paying, important job in the state of Louisiana where our education system needs a lot of help.
Well, and John White held that position for a good while.
He sure did.
And he withstood the ire of governors from both parties. Even Bobby Jindal split with him because of Common Core. 877-217-5757. 2,458 reported deaths in Louisiana from COVID-19. We ranked ninth in the nation. At one time, we ranked second in America. And it's a case in which we're now in phase one. Is the governor doing a good job, Scott?
I think early on he did. I think the decision to delay the reopening was, you know, idiotic at best. I just did the math here, and I, you know, we hate the loss of any life, but that's 0.0005% of Louisiana has died from coronavirus.
But 35,000 positive cases, which, and we know there are many more positives that have not been reported.
Well, that's who died with the measures that Scott just called idiotic. So I guess to me that's a bit presumptive.
Wasn't he following President Trump's? I said early on, I think he did a good job. I just there was no reason for the state to stay shut down another 2 weeks.
Citing that it was a low number of the total residents proves that it was a good idea, not a bad idea. Right.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, hello. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, you guys were talking about public education. It seems we pay these administrators, these government administrators, these ridiculous salaries. You know, the government school system, it seems like more and more money is going to administration instead of actually paying teachers. And you know, why do we have to pay these people this ridiculous salaries?
Well, great point. And at $375,000 a year plus living expenses and other things that were part of our last superintendent's contract, we still could not attract and retain or appoint a superintendent that met all of the qualifications set out in law. It required a waiver to make him superintendent. I think we may see someone today that gets appointed that actually meets all of the qualifications set out in law. But I think what that proves is that high salary is not actually helping us recruit or retain anyone. And yeah, when many teachers experienced a pay freeze, you know, for the better part of 8 years, it's time to reallocate those funds, and I think actually Scott and I will agree about shrinking government in that
all
particular
right. And
place.
Beth notes that as high as you say the superintendent is earning, he makes much less than does the president of LSU and the head of the Board of Regents, the commissioner of higher education. And the governor of Louisiana only earns $130,000 a year. What's wrong with this picture? Every cabinet secretary earns more than the governor, Mary Patricia.
Well, it's hard for a governor to allocate for his own pay raise, and just as it's hard for a legislator to allocate for his own pay raise. You know, that issue's been back in the paper recently, and a lot of people who don't understand our part-time legislature are easily disgusted when it comes to a per diem amount. The fact of the matter is you cannot be a state legislator unless you're independently wealthy, have someone else to run your business. It's not enough money to make a living off of. And so either we're okay with that or we're not. But I think criticizing the amount they're paid at this point is not productive in recruiting and retaining good legislators that have the ability to pay attention to their constituents.
Yeah, and I would go the other way. Like, you know, Kyle Ardoin is a friend of mine, Secretary of State. I mean, it's even less, isn't it? Like
110.
110.
Yeah.
And I saw him at the Capitol last week. I mean, the man has to work all day long,
well,
every day.
That's a pretty good wage in Louisiana. How about a measure saying no one in Louisiana working in government can make more than the governor, including Coach O?
Because you're talking about a different skill set. It's
well,
like,
if you're going to include Coach O, that's never going to pass.
Well,
the legislature will never.
In 38 states, the highest paid public employee is either a football or basketball coach. Do we have our priorities out of whack?
What I would say is that the salary there isn't the issue. It's the benefits that come with that salary. So it's the unfunded accrued liability that happens in our retirement systems. It's the effect of that salary on the state fisc.
I will say this. This may be a gotcha point, but if people paid as much attention to the workings of their state government as they do to what LSU football does 12 games a year, then you might see a little change. But the truth is, you go down to the Capitol, there's never more than, 100 people? From the actual
right.
public, there's 90,000 people in a football stadium every week. So I think people care a whole lot more about what Coach O does than what Senator Cloud or Senator Foyle does at the Capitol. And that's not, just
William,
reality.
William in Opelousas has been waiting patiently. William, you're on the air. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Jim, I was listening. I'm just wondering if your Republican guest is trying to tell us that only Democrats and independents commit voter fraud.
All right.
It's not that they're the only ones that committed. It's just amazing how those ballots tend to all be Democrat when they come in. When you get those ballots out of those areas, where the Democrat votes are, yeah, that's where you seem to find the voter fraud. You seem to find the
Picked a location where a Republican lost in what has traditionally been a Democratic stronghold when he gave you his one example. And I would wager that those are all the examples that he would make you aware of.
There's examples of voter fraud up and down the line all over the country.
And as a political consultant, if I had said the same thing as Scott, he would say, why did you let your election come down that close?
That's true. And
that's no criticism of Senator
Woody
Cloud,
Jenkins,
who
Woody
I know
Jenkins
worked very
was
hard.
The victim of voter fraud in 1996. Absolutely,
well, we don't know that. There were stories, incorrect, that there were more votes than voters in precincts. There were not.
Back in the day, Newsweek used to do an elementary school presidential election, right? So like when I was in sixth grade, you got to vote. And I'm wondering, you know, why weren't we teaching kids in sixth grade that Newsweek was doing ballot harvesting in their mock election? You know, we didn't have that term back then, Scott.
Well,
yeah. All right. Well, final caller for Scott Wilfong and for Mary Patricia Ray. It is Dee in Prairieville. Dee, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Dee. Good morning. Oh, we lost Dee, so I'm sorry. So I guess that's it as far as the calls today, says Matt Doyle, our crack producer. And we appreciate Scott and Mary Patricia coming in and being with us in the COVID-19 age in studio. And it's always a pleasure. Good luck, Mary Patricia. 15 weeks to go before birth on Labor Day. Is that the plan?
Due on September 1. We'll see if it happens before or after that. We're very excited to welcome a new baby home in what may be during a special session, a second one. We don't know what's going to happen. So I'm ready to get that new baby up to the Capitol and put it to work.
And Scott brought his handsome son with him.
Absolutely.
Who's had a big week, a birthday.
Trevor Wilfong, Eagle of the Year.
Talk Louisiana is a family affair today in studio, and we thank you for being brave enough to come in. It's been a pleasure, always.
Thank you, Jim. We'll do it again.
And as noted as we started the show today, it is the 74th birthday of the remarkable Cher, who is still doing her thing and still looks fabulous, kept herself in great shape. And as we celebrate her birthday, which comes 1 month before Donald Trump, 2 months before George Bush, 3 months before Bill Clinton, Cher and her former colleague and husband, Sonny, once had a show, and they continued to do the show even after they split up. And this is from 1976, when Cher had split the sheets with Sonny and had run off with Greg Allman. Here they were talking about the presidential election of the bicentennial year.
Folks, we've been getting a lot of letters over the fact that, I'm supporting President Ford, and Cher is supporting... Jimmy Carter. I can never seem to get his name.
Don't worry, you'll have 4 years to learn it.
Oh. You're wrong about that, Cher.
I should have said 8. You'll probably have 8 years to get it down.
You know what, Cher?
No.
In the polls,
Ford
is gaining. He really is. And you know what happens when Ford hits full stride?
He usually trips.
That's why I said this would segue. You see, those kind of remarks is why we've been getting letters to the network. And so the network is getting very upset that we're doing political humor, you know?
Hey, if they don't like it, why don't they get Bob Hope?
You don't ask for it, you got it.
And Kissinger thinks he pops up in strange places. Hey, speaking of politics, both Gerry Ford and Jimmy Carter fighting for the same thing, the chance to be hugged by Sammy Davis Jr.
Sonny and Cher and Bob Hope. Sonny died, of course, in 1998 in a skiing accident. He was a congressman from the great state of California. Cher still going, and Bob Hope died a few years ago as well. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.